Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need. And for Him to be doing the speaking, Father, so that the words that are spoken are yours and not mine. Now, Father, watch over us, guide us as your children. And once more, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. So, we'll get started here. Here we verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And once again, we ask the Lord to bless his word so that we can grow thereby and walk closer unto the Lord and have a greater understanding of this, his word, so that we have the truth. And once again, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right. When we back up here now, what we need to remember is God is good. He's always good. Sometimes we may not feel like he is because of things that comes against us, things that we have to go through. But when we can remember that we are his children, we know that we're not by ourselves. We're not alone. He's right there with us. And he said he would take care of our needs. But he keeps his word. Sometimes we won't keep ours. And that's when we get into a lot of trouble. It's when we won't keep our word with him. And then there are times, especially for those that are new and young Christians, that really has not had time to really get in to the depth of God's word and to know, really know Jesus, or to know the Father, or to know anything about the Holy Spirit. So then as the Holy Spirit tries to pull them into the family of God, they pull against him, just like a tug of war. Holy Spirit trying to pull you to God and to his word, and yet you stand there pulling back, trying to get him into the ways of this world. And we have so many today that are sitting in the church that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, really, and to know who he is and what he really done, how he had to suffer in order for you and I to have eternal life. Think about that. They put out statistics the other day, and I can't remember exactly how many, but there was over 200 million Christian people claiming to be Christian people that knew nothing about the Holy Spirit of God.
And they ain't Christian.
No way they can be. Because you can't really claim to be a true Christian and a child of God until you're born again. And you can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. It didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. And that's why God's own people kept their back turned on the Lord Jesus Christ and wouldn't accept him. Oh, there was a few, yes, it did. But as far as the land went, the land didn't accept him. Israel, the country of Israel, turned their back on him. But you know, it's only one sin you can't be forgiven for. You can be forgiven for murder or any other sin, as long as you walk away from that sin. You can't keep doing it and be forgiven for it. No. It's like adultery. You can't live in adultery and continue living in it and be forgiven for it. You've got to turn your back on it and quit. What do you mean? You mean I'm married now, I've got two living wives and I'm living in adultery. Now I've got to divorce this second wife. I've got to leave her. No, there's a right way that you can still take care of her and do what you should do. But you can't stay married to her. You and her cannot see each other's nakedness. If you're going to live in the same house, you've got to live as companions. And most can't do that or won't do it.
Couple hard.
I had a couple come to me. Now, they're not really living in adultery. They're living in fornication. Because they're living together and they're not married. They want to be a member of the church. I told them, I said, I can't accept you as a member of the church. Well, why? So I told them. Now, there is a way. And I told him, I said, you can still take care of her and keep up a certain of your obligations. The sex has got to stop. You cannot see each other's nakedness. Oh, I can't do that. Well, that's your choice. If you can't do that, you can go on to hell. Because that's where you're going to wind up. Because there's not one sin going to enter into the kingdom of God. Not one. We don't stop and think about that, do we? Most don't. But when you stop and think, over 200 million churchgoers. These were churchgoers. Didn't know a thing about the Holy Spirit. That's why our land's in the shape it's in. Because our churches back 55, 60 years back started falling, walking away from teaching the Word of God. I've watched it fall. I watched preacher after preacher, supposed to be, make a mockery of the ministry. They'd have friends come in to their service. They'd go to a town, set up a great big tent, talking about having healing service, a healing revival. And they'd have friends come in with casts on their leg, Now, during the service, they'd cut this cast off, he'd get up and jump up and down, he's healed. Wasn't nothing wrong with him to start with. Making a mockery out of it.
Yeah, that don't work.
We got one right now. If I ever find a phone number to call that organization, they'll get a phone call. He claims to be a preacher. I don't think he is, but he claims to be. Y'all may have seen him. Because he's all WWE wrestling. Black guy. Claims to be a preacher. Gets out there and goes on and all to stir up trouble between the wrestlers. Making a mockery out of the ministry.
Yeah, isn't that the six things that God hates? The seventh, isn't that causing division within the brethren?
Oh, yes.
That's an abomination.
Yeah, it's an abomination.
I mean, the six things of what God hates, and then the seventh is an abomination.
Yeah.
That's that causing division between the strife between your brethren.
And this is what has happened in our church world today. They built these walls, calling them denominations. All it is a wall. Because they want nothing to do with a different denomination. Yet, when you get into God's Word, there is only one church, and that's His. They need to tear these walls down and come together. And if they do that, come together and stand together in unity and stand on God's Word, they could straighten this country out and do it very shortly. It wouldn't take no time to get it done. But they're not doing it. They're keeping these walls up. I can't have nothing to do with you, James. Because I'm Baptist. You're Methodist. So I can't have nothing to do with you. I can't have nothing to do with you. Because you're Presbyterian. I'm Baptist. You two can't have nothing to do with each other. Because you don't belong to the same denomination. That's what happened when they started building these denominations. And these denominations, as they were built out of anger. You say, Pastor, you don't know that. Yes, I do. I happen to be here. But most of them came about. I'm telling you where most of all of these different denominations come from. You're Pentecostal. You know where they came from? No, most people don't. Oh, it was just something new. Somebody started. No. Well, that's right in one sense of the word. But they came off of the Nazarene church. When the Pentecostal first started, if you remember, of course, a lot of you listen to me that you're too young to remember back that far even. But you can remember back to where Pentecostal first started. Their women couldn't cut their hair. They wore it up in buns. They had to wear long dresses. They couldn't wear makeup. Now look at them. Run around in mini skirts, all painted up like a clown. earrings that hangs way down past her shoulder. Showing about three times as much as they should be showing. And it started because in the Nazarene church, one group got to where they couldn't get along with another group in there. So this group over here said, well, I'll just go start my own. And that's what they did. Church of God came off of the Pentecostal church for the same reason. That group that was mad that pulled out of that church, how can they expect to set up a rightly church out of anger? We need to be working with each other and among each other to bring them all together in unity. Because until they can stand in unity with God's family and his people, they're not going to make heaven their home, and I don't care what name they got. Your Baptist church, they couldn't get along. So we wound up going from Baptist to Baptist and Southern Baptist. Then along came Independent Fundamental Baptist.
Missionary.
Now here, and we got one of them right here in Meade County. And then we've got the Meade County General Baptist Church.
Second Baptist. Got a second.
And then, yep, right here in Meade County. Then out here on 712, you got Calvary Baptist. And they don't all get along with each other either.
Missionary, right?
You got missionary Baptists. Got a bunch of them. But they're all supposed to be Baptists.
That's what I thought as a kid. Baptists, same, right? No.
No, they're not. No. I was raised in a Baptist church, yes. I was married the first time I was married. My first wife before she passed away, I was married in a Baptist church by a Baptist preacher. And one, when I first came back from overseas, I wouldn't sit under. Show you what I'm talking about. What caused a lot of problems in our churches. I came back from Korea the first Sunday. I was talking to the pastor before Sunday because I was raised there in that church, more or less, and through all my teen years. So I stopped in to see him. I just got back. You come to church Sunday? I said, oh, yes, I'll be here. He said, well, no. He said, KD, he said, wear your uniform because nobody here has ever seen you in uniform. I told him, I said, well, I'm trying to get out of it for a while because I was on leave. He said, yeah, but nobody's seen you in it. We'd like to see you in it. Okay. So I did. I went to church. Well, that Sunday there was the sergeant there. Him, his wife, and two little boys. Two little boys dressed in nice new jeans, little white shirts. Wife dressed like she should be dressed. He was in a Class A Army uniform. Church is over. You're standing out on the front. Well, I call it a stoop because it wasn't a porch. Just a square piece out there before the steps started down. Talking to the pastor. Sergeant and his wife and two little boys, they come out. They started by me. Pastor hollered at him. Said, Sarge, need to talk to you. So he stopped. He told him, he said, If that uniform and the clothes that these kids have got on and your wife's got on, that's all you all got to wear at church, I'd just assume you'd go somewhere else. I turned around and started down the steps. He said, I'll see you tonight. I said, no, you won't. Oh, you ain't coming tonight. I told him, I said, I won't be back. What do you mean you won't be back? Just what I said, I won't be back. That sergeant uniform is just like mine. Well, he ain't got all that junk on his like I got on mine. That's when I left the Baptist church. I didn't. I never went back.
Yeah, there was a black man I talked to one time, and he was Baptist, and he had nice clothes on, suit and tie, went in the church, Baptist church. They were letting him in because he's black.
But you know, this is the thing. Been too much division in the churches.
Right.
And it's not anything that's really new. Because it was going on back in Paul's day. The author of most of the New Testament. When he met the Lord and was saved and was called into the ministry and made an apostle to the Gentile nations, he had a group of his own people, the Jewish people, that followed everywhere he went. And when he would leave, they'd tell the people, well, you can do what he told you to do, but then you've got to be circumcised. Because the law said so. If it's in God's word, if they'd been circumcised because of that, they would have had to keep the whole law. The Jewish people wouldn't even keep it. That's why Christ came. He came to fulfill the law and to give us a way to make heaven our home. Because the law could not take their sins away. It would cover their past sins. But it wouldn't take away their sins of the present nor the future. And God wasn't pleased with that. So he sent his son. And through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, he took away his sins. He done away with them. And that's why all these denominational churches we got out here that's telling you you can't live without a little sin in your life is leading you straight to hell. You cannot keep committing that same old sin over and over, and Jesus keep forgiving it. He won't do it. He tells you he won't. You go to 10th chapter Hebrew and see what he says about it. It's in there. He tells you that he will not do it. Oh, now that ain't true. Well, let's find out. Then maybe the Spirit will lead me back into my listen tonight. I don't know. All right. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read 25 because it's telling us something we're doing right today that we should not be doing. What our churches are doing right today that they should not be doing. Beginning here with verse 25. Well, let's go to 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Man told him, said, you got to close your doors. What'd they do? They closed their doors. Instead of obeying God, staying with him, they went with mankind and shut their doors. Men that done that are weak. They're not walking in the spirit of Almighty God. But just about all of the pastors done it. We've got a few that didn't, but most did. Now, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why should we meet? Why should we go to church and assemble ourselves together? For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Once you know that something is sin, you don't do that again because you've got no more sacrifice for it. Once Jesus forgives that sin, you better leave it alone because you've got no more sacrifice for it. God's word, not mine, his. Now, coming back and getting in to our chapter tonight, which we ain't going to get through. We're probably going to be in it Sunday morning. Still. Now, verse 1. And you, well, let's back up here because it leads us into chapter 2. Here in chapter 1, the last three verses. Last four verses. Let's take it that way. No. Well, yeah. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. His name, that name of Jesus, is above every name. Coming on down to 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. You see, that's what is supposed to be the head of your church where you go, is God. But most of the pastors stand behind the podium, won't let God be the head of the church. They've made themselves that. And here with the last verse of that, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we know that he's the head of the church. So now we come on down here to verse 1. And it starts out, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This word quickened. Look it up. See what the meaning of it is. You find that it means he made alive. You have he made alive who were dead. You were dead because you were separated from God. Now, your body wasn't dead. No, it's still walking around here on earth. But you were separated from God. You were spiritually dead to God. Then when you went to Jesus, and when Jesus forgave you your sins, then God made you alive. He brought you out of that death. You remember in the teaching of baptism, I told you, you put on his death. You was buried with him in baptism. You were brought up in his resurrection. and you're to walk in newness of life. That was God making you alive in the spirit. You see, your body wasn't dead. It was the spirit that was dead. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That word, you walketh, ye walketh, means you lived. You was living in sin. That's what he's telling you. Now, he went on to tell us to here in that we walked according to the course of this world. Course of this world. That's letting you and I know that we are walking in all the tendencies, thoughts, pursuits, and deeds, and character of Satan and his demons. That's what he's getting at there. The children of disobedience. You wasn't saved. Because you were walking field of sin. You know, a lot of times, you don't have to do something to commit sin. You can sit at home in your straight chair, never get out of that chair, and sin by omission. You just didn't do something you should have done. You sat at home and sat in that chair when you should have been to church.
Or helping somebody or doing something.
And that's wrong. Now verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a verse that is. We had our conversations. Means that we all conducted ourselves in contrast to the will of God. We didn't want to get along with each other. And back in the day this was wrote, it was the Jews that would not get along with the Gentiles. Because they were God's chosen people. And the Gentiles wasn't. The Gentiles actually knew nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ until his death and resurrection, and after the day of Pentecost, when the church age began. And then God dealt with Paul, which at the time his name was Saul, and he wasn't a good man. In fact, when you actually study God's word, you don't find where he called any good men. The apostles. Most of them were fishermen. The roughest bunch of men of that day and time. They ain't called a tax collector. And a physician. Then there was Paul, even on the day he met Jesus,
was on his way to Damascus to go and arrest more people, bring them back to be imprisoned and killed because they followed Jesus. But God forgave him that day, called him into the ministry, and made him the apostle over the Gentile nations. And he is why we have most of this New Testament, because he wrote most of it through the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I'm going on through 5 and 6, because they all go together. 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can have all the good works that you can do. That don't get you to heaven. That don't get you saved. Actually, the good works that counts with God are works you do after you're saved, because they're a lot different than the ones before.
Yeah, they're not good before.
Only Jesus can give you salvation, and you have to take that by faith. So where is your faith? Now, if you have enough faith for salvation, why haven't you grown that faith in to healing? Because you haven't finished your work yet. You see, you're not done. You went to Jesus. He forgives your sins. No doubt you've been baptized. Now, how you were baptized, that's another question. Whether you're baptized right or wrong. But even if you was baptized right, you're still not done. This is why the church was established, because we need to get you into the church, into God's Word, learning and learning about the deity of the Godhead, teaching you about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's work is, what he means to you, so that you can be filled with that, because that is where your knowledge will come from, that's where your wisdom will come from, that's where your life will come from. It's from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when he tells you to go do something, that's where the power for you to do that will come from. The Holy Spirit, as it flows through you. The Word tells you that once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got a river of living water running out of you, meaning the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. You see, he tells me, James coming here tonight, he said, you're going to lay your hands on him, but I'm going to make him whole. So I come down and I lay my hands on him, anoint you with oil. And I say, Lord God, here's Brother James. You told me to do this. I've done it. Now he's healed. You're healed. You say, you know, Pastor Tony, he's a healer. No, he ain't. I was an instrument to put my hand on you, so the Holy Spirit could flow through me. He's the one who healed you. You wait on me to heal, you're going to be sick a long time. But it's the Holy Spirit.
You see, he flows through us. He's also the one that seals you when you are reborn. When you become born as a child of God, that's when the Holy Spirit seals you. That's when you go to thirsting for God's word. That's when you go to really wanting to live for him. That's where your life really changes. It's been a changing all along. But when you get to that point, it really changes. Nothing is ever the same again. And I will tell you this. When that happens, you will speak in a heavenly language. And if you're like me, it'll scare you to death. You'll wonder what's going on. What's happening? Am I losing my mind? I was at the church. I had bought a house, a great big country house there in Florida, in a community of 100 homes. Now, I was making a church out of it. I took all the partitions out of the inside and everything, made it into a church. I had a nice little church made there. I went through that place and knocked on every door. Introduced myself, told them what I was doing, invited them all to church. All 100 of them told me, well, we belong to this other church out here. And we meet early on Sunday morning. I had ended up, when I got it open, I was a babysitter. Because I think I had every kid in that community, and every house had two or three. And I had gotten kind of down. Because as of yet, I hadn't been born again. God was using me, but I hadn't been born again. I had went to the Lord Jesus Christ. He covered my sins. I'd walked away from them. I'd been baptized in his name. I'm studying his word, but I'm still growing. Because, as I told you, I was raised in a Baptist church that said none of that happened anymore. That all died when the apostles died. No, it just got started on the day of Pentecost when the church age started. But anyway, after services, I had knelt down at the altar there that I built down the church. And I said, Lord, is this really what you've got for me to be a babysitter and just teach kids? I want to say another word in my prayer, but there was a different word come out. I didn't understand it because it wasn't English. Hold a minute. What's going on? So I went to say another word. A different word came out. Now I'm really beginning to get shook up. I went to say another word. There's a different word come out. So I'm going to stop now. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to stop. The harder I tried to stop praying, the harder I prayed in the spirit. And the language he gave me was from the OC of the Bible. But those kids, they got going home
ask mom and dad questions, mom and dad couldn't answer. Because the kids would learn. And some of them were teenagers. Wasn't all just little kids, but had a few teenagers in a bunch. But they all was going home, asking mom and dad questions, mom and dad couldn't answer. So when God went to move me from there, I had a church full of adults, along with their kids. And there was another church that had been looking for a church. And I told them, I said, as long as you'll keep it as a church, it's yours. But if you ever quit using it as a church, it comes back to me. That church is still going today in Florida. God don't let us down. We let God down. Now, in verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved you and I while we were yet sinners. And yet, most don't want to love him today. They're walking away from doing everything they can do to stay out of church, to stay away from God's true people. All right. I'm going to try to get on through 7, 8, 9, and 10. And then we'll close out. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Anything that God gives you and I, any blessing we get from God, comes because it comes through Jesus.
Amen.
And yet it's brought to you and I through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You've got the whole deity of Godhead working in your life. All three are working today in our lives, when we belong to him. Now, and we're saved how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we don't have anything to boast about. The only thing I've got to boast about or to brag about is the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, and he gets all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, because without him, I am nothing. When it comes to the family of God, without him, I'm not saved. Without him, I'm not going to make heaven my home. Without him, I'm not going to understand this world. And that's why a lot of them are being lost today, and why a lot of your pastors are preaching a watered-down service, is because they don't have the understanding, because they don't belong to him. And we'll end with this next verse. For we are his workmanship. We're what? You're born again. It's because he did it. And you are his workmanship. Now, you belong to him. And how did he get you there? Created. He worked and built you. Created you. How? In Christ Jesus. Unto good works. You see, that's when good works comes in. Is after the Lord Jesus Christ. After salvation. Which God has before ordained
that we should walk in them. We are to walk in good works. We're not just to go to church and sit in the pews, get up and go home and forget all about everything. We are to be out talking with others, trying to lead them into the church. That's all of us, not just your preacher. I, or no preacher, can build a church by myself. It takes all of us working together and working with others. But what is most churchgoers doing? That's exactly what they do. They'll get up. They don't bother even about getting to church too early because they don't want to talk to nobody else. They'll get there in just a few minutes before time. And they sit there. They'll watch a clock if they can see one. A lot of your church has got a clock up here behind the pastor. You shouldn't be. That's why that one's out there. You ain't gonna watch one on me. You might watch your watch, but you ain't gonna watch no clock. And they're just waiting. Well, now he's preached 20 minutes. It's time for him to shut up now so I can go. I've got a golf game this evening, and I'm going to be late. Right? I've got a football game I need to watch this evening because they're all on Sunday. You don't think so? Look at your Sunday paper. Look at your TV guide. So I just wish he'd hurry up now and shut up. They get up, leave, go out. That is the last they ever think about the Lord or anybody else until the next service. They don't talk to nobody else about the Lord or nothing. Now that's most. I'm not saying everybody, because we know we've got some good Christians out here. They're few and far between, but we do have some. And for the most part, that's the way it works. Now, there's a lot of them out there, too. They'll use the church to get what they want and then never come back. We've had a few of them here. Got one man from over in Custer come here for help. He needed help. And he said, you know, the church where I've been going to don't give nobody help. I told him, I said, well, that's what this church is all about, is to teach you about the scripture and to help people that really needs help. He came, found out what he needed, helped him out. He never attended the first service. This has been right after I reopened this church. I got others that were coming, and then they needed help, and as soon as they needed help, they quit coming. I'd got to the point, I was thinking about quit helping people. But the Lord said, no, you can't do that. You got to love them all. You got to pray for them. Let me do the work. I'll take care of things. And that's what I end up, that's what I have to do. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we'll close your word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place where we can come together to praise the Lord, to honor you, to give you praise, to help each other in study of your word, to learn, to be a strength one another. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we know that they are, this day and time, having very little peace. We are praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we are praying that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, for this land of ours, a land that had no excuse, Father, whatsoever, to take the Lord Jesus Christ out of all the places he was in, to get rid of his name, and to go their own way, looking for something that is not right to bring to the people of this nation. We are praying, Father, that the Holy Spirit will work with us to help us to remove from office those that are against the church, those that are standing against the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to put into office those that will work with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him back into every place he was taken out of. And to work with us, Father, to put our nation, our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is mentioned, we pray that the Holy Spirit will touch that person, fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. And Father, we're telling Satan to take his hands off of these people. He's banned from them. He cannot touch them anymore. And you gave us the authority to do so. And Father, we are doing it in Jesus' name. Satan, leave these people alone. In Jesus' name. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Carrie Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, Pastor Randy Johnson for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father Will, this young minister that has been newly ordained in to the ministry, my prayer for him is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he is the minister you want him to be. And Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, do you know what the need is there, Father? We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my pastor friends, Father, overseas, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them all in health, because we know they walk through lands to where at times if they're caught will mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for all the families that will hear this message. We ask the Holy Spirit to work with these families, to lead them from darkness to light, so that none be lost, and all will be able to make heaven their home. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother, for Sue, for Palance Goodman, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. My wife, Father, I give you thanks that you are working on her now, that you are bringing her back. Father, she is greatly missed. We give you praise, honor, and glory for the touch you've laid upon her and her life. Once again, Father, this church is yours, not mine. Help me to make it what you want it to be. And use me, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his sweet, precious name, that name Jesus, that we pray, Father. Amen. All right, everyone. God bless. Remember, we can all be together again, God willing, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. So I pray and hope to see you then. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night now.
All right.